Antonio Delgado is the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 19th Congressional District. His opponent is John Faso. It is one of the closest races in the country. Or is it a close race, Antonio?
I mean, it's a close race if you're watching the polls. And, you know, I am running the race as if it is close. You know, what I care about most, though, is continuing to do the work on the ground, knocking on the doors, making the phone calls, holding town halls, and making sure that people understand that they got somebody who really cares about them and wants to serve their interests and not special interests.
What about guns? We haven't talked about guns in our pastime. You know, I'm a fierce gun control advocate. You're running upstate where, you know, Andrew Cuomo passes a very good, tough gun control law, and people put signs out in front of their houses. How do you as a candidate handle that?
Well, first of all, I tell folks, number one, that as a congressperson, my obligations are to protect all of your rights. The Second Amendment is a right, and it is a right that I will protect. Just like any other right, though, whether it's the First Amendment or the Second Amendment, it has limits. You can't yell fire in a movie theater. You can't incite violence. And similarly, you can't own a fully automatic weapon or a tank. There are limits to all of our rights. And so the question is, when we're faced with an epidemic like the gun violence epidemic, where you got 8 kids a day dying at the hands of gun violence, and you got 17 or 18 being hospitalized, teenagers, at the hands of gun violence. You got mass shootings in schools and in churches and in concert halls to a degree where literally our children are walking out of their schools asking and crying for help. We've got to do something about this. And what's disturbing to me is that we have a lot of consensus on a host of issues. 90% of folks want universal background checks. 73% of NRA members want that. 97% of folks want to ban bump stocks, safe storage laws. All these things people want to see on a very supermajority level, and yet we can't get anything passed. And the only reason why we can't get anything passed is because we keep sending folks to Congress who've been compromised by virtue of the fact that they've taken money from the gun manufacturing lobby. That is why. And our current Congressman, John Faso, is one of those individuals.
Mitch McConnell and others, Mr. Ryan, have made sounds that sound to me as a Social Security recipient as if they'd like to mitigate what Social Security does in this country, maybe even kill it. I wonder where you are.
Yeah, they do want to kill it, despite the fact that it's the most successful social insurance program in our country's history. They want to kill it. They want to privatize it. And you could lump John Faso in that mix, too, because he's on record saying that he thinks it would be a boon for Wall Street to privatize it. So there you go. I don't believe that we should privatize it whatsoever. We need to make sure it remains solvent. And there are concrete steps to do that. It currently is the most regressive tax we have right now by virtue of the fact that the highest earners are literally being taxed a mild fraction of their entire income compared to folks who have to pay 100% of their income. If you make $60,000 or $70,000, you're paying 100% tax on your income. And we can change that if we raise the cap on the highest earners. And I'm talking about the individuals who are making millions and millions and millions of dollars. We can be doing that and still, in essence, extend the life of Social Security, but we're not taking that step. And instead, all we're getting is demagoguery from the right, or let's create a commission, as John Faso likes to often suggest, which is really just to punt the issue. You have to actually provide solutions for these problems and make sure that we actually extend the life of this program. You know, what's also interesting is John Faso voted for the balanced budget amendment, which is also a direct attack on Social Security. So we know where he stands on this issue.
We do know that Social Security has been under attack for a long time. One of the things that I've always understood as a political scientist and others is that if you had let the money that it has accumulated from the ratepayers go without raiding it, we would be fine. But Congress, in its, you know, chicken way, has always said, okay, let's steal from that and, quote, borrow from that fund, borrowing which never gets paid back.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a number of things that we could be doing. I just told you what I think would be an appropriate solution. It's a solution that I think accounts for the fact that more and more money is being made at a faster rate in the hands of just a wealthy few. And that's why when the cap was first instituted, it captured 90% of all earned income. It currently captures just 83%. And so when you have wealth being generated at the very top levels of our economy, or society, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to get this gap and the inability to maintain solvency within the benefit. And let's be clear, it's an earned benefit. And so obviously, if we're going to raise the cap on, and again, the emphasis is on the word on, individuals who are making millions of dollars, they would in essence get a bigger benefit. But at the end of the day, we still be paying more money into the system, and it'll extend the life of Social Security. Again, a solution. And this is what's interesting. You know, what I have found running as a candidate is that it's become all too commonplace for career politicians like John Fazio to run away from solutions and to just hide behind empty statements that don't really mean anything, with the attempt really to just not have to reveal their true intent. And his true intent, as he stated, is to privatize Social Security. That's his true intent. And so he doesn't want to say that. And so instead, he'll just say, you know what, let's just make a commission and have everybody come together, you know, and figure it all out. But that's not a solution. That's just punting the issue.
Talk to me about DACA and immigration.
Well, we have to make sure we pass a Clean Dream Bill, a Clean Dream Act. I don't even like putting DACA in the same category as immigration. We do have a broken immigration system. We have a lot of immigrants who are undocumented, millions, and we have to bring them out of the shadows. But at the same token, we have a lot of individuals who've been here since they were 2-3 years old. This is the only country that they know. They serve in our military. They own businesses. You know, they're first responders. They pay taxes. They're American, except for on paper. And so we need to pass a DREAM Act, a Clean DREAM Act now. And then when the question of immigration comes up, I think we got to make sure that we are able to bring folks out of the shadows in a humane and a compassionate way, in a way that provides a clear path to citizenship. And, you know, listen, if you've been here, you've broken laws and you've been violent in doing so, you can't get in that line. That's just a fact. However, the vast majority of folks who have been here for decades don't fit that description. They're upstanding individuals who are very positive contributors to our society, and they need an opportunity to come out of the shadows. And it's not just on a moral argument. It's an economic one. We got a lot of folks, particularly in the ag space, who rely on labor, who feel like with all of the rhetoric right now around immigration, people are scared and they're fearful, and it's impacting their ability to find a labor force to do what they need to do to provide goods and services to their community.
Antonio Delgado, there are those who say, hey, the economy is booming. The president is entitled to take credit for that. Is he?
Well, John Fazio said the economy was booming not long ago, and he's dead wrong. It's not booming. I mean, you could say it's booming for, I guess, certain individuals or certain corporations, or if you own a lot of stock in Wall Street, maybe it's booming. But the fact of the matter is there are a lot of folks who I come across in my district where it's not booming at all. People are hurting. You got to work 3 or 4 jobs just to make ends meet and pay your rent. You want to call that full employment? I don't. You're struggling with benefits that aren't really guaranteed or all that meaningful to you. You're trying to figure out how to get by. And that's a hard road to walk down in this world. And the fact of the matter is it shows a lack of understanding and experience and a lack of attention when somebody can say, you know, the economy is booming. It also reveals who the constituents are for that individual and who they really care about. The economy is booming for the folks who have a lot. The economy is booming for corporate interests. You're right. But that to me is not how you judge the health, the economic health of society. Not when 1 in 3 kids are growing up poor in Sullivan County right now. Not when you got 80,000 folks right now facing hunger all across my district. That does not sound like a booming economy to me.
So one last question, and then we'll let you go. And thank you for taking all your precious time, and I do mean precious, to be with us. Once back in the day, and I'm much older than you were, I had a rock and roll band, and I did it for a long time. Never took any allowance. It was always great. How about you? You were a rapper. You did some rapping. If you had it to do over again, now that you're running for Congress, would you have rapped?
If I had to do it all over again, I would certainly do what I did, which was to go out there and figure out how to reach young people and engage them with music that was uplifting and empowering, that gave them hope and that gave them meaning and a sense of purpose. Because it's at the end of the day who I fundamentally am. And what drove me to do that then is exactly what's driving me to do what I'm doing now. You know, the fact of the matter is, people are being marginalized, and it's happening at a rate now that's just not tolerable. You know, you mentioned again the economy is booming, and the fact is, you know, no matter the size of the benefit, no matter how small it is, you put a little bit more money in people's pockets, there's always strings attached at every turn. And the strings are attached to big cash giveaways to folks who don't need. And the level of inequality in this country is so vast and so staggering because of that, that people are losing faith in democracy altogether. And it is imperative now more than ever that we right this ship, that we level the playing field here. Because if we don't get people to believe in democracy quickly, who knows the direction we're headed in. And I feel like that's what's motivating me. And that's what's motivating the guy back over a decade ago who was doing the music, because I was talking about income inequality then. I was talking about wealth disparity then. I was talking about a system not responding to working families then. And here we are over a decade later, and I'm still talking about it. I'm still caring about it. And the problem is the situation has gotten a lot worse.
It's always great to talk to our friend Antonio Delgado. Antonio, I have to say, we are really honored that you took the time to come into the studio and to talk to us. It's just wonderful to have that time with you.
No, it's a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.